So trade secret protection, as we know, starts with secrecy. And then you add on layers of protection. Well, you've got to lock down your security and secure your code or any documentation of it. So that piece of pad, that paper that you wrote your trade secret code onto, or ideas for coding or ways to implement it on the nightstand, you've got to keep that locked in a drawer. And if you're going to show it to anybody else, you've got to get a non-disclosure agreement. And frankly, it would be better if you just showed it to them and didn't let them have a copy or let them take notes. But that's not how the real world works. So typically, you're going to need to get non-disclosure agreements with anybody that you're going to try to do business with, whether it's an employee, a contractor, a lender, later a customer. You've got to have non-disclosure agreements. But non-disclosure agreements typically don't, in the real world, in terms of other industries, often don't have restrictions against reverse engineering or decompiling. Now, in Texas, because of some case law we have, I think K&G Oil Tools, there are often restrictions on reverse engineering. But I don't think that's common everywhere. But it's very important in the trade secret area, because if you can reverse engineer the trade secret, it's worthless, and it's no longer a secret. So bottom line is, you've got to have that clause in your non-disclosure agreement to protect it. So then you need other security measures. Preferably, you're going to have a locked, secure, controlled access facility and equipment. And you know, if you're doing this working out of your house, it means you lock the door and don't let anybody in unless they sign an agreement. You're going to limit your access to the office where you, or the place where you keep your materials, to those who need it. And you're going to limit access even to the computers and the records to those who actually need it. So if your company has a receptionist, or your company has a hardware person, and they don't need to see the software, don't show it to them. Don't let them see it. Keep it secret. The more people who know it, the less protected it is. So, but I think there's a synergy to be had between patent law and trade secret law. And one of the problems I think anyone who's done trade secret litigation has had is you sue, whether it's the former employee, the former contractor, the thief in the night, whoever it is you sue, you say, you have stolen my trade secrets. You say to the former employee, you've stolen my trade secrets. Your head is full of my trade secrets. And the first question is, what are they? What are your trade secrets? And the answer typically is, I don't know. I have no idea. But I have them. I have lots of them. And they're in your head. That's not compelling. And where the synergy comes up between patents and trade secrets is that, let's say, you want to really lock down what your trade secrets are, who developed them, and the timing of it. Provisional patent applications, dirt cheap. Write one up. Write everything into it that's part of your system. Put it in an envelope. Mail it with a check to the PTO. They'll stamp it, and that'll record when your trade secret, whatever is in the envelope, was in existence. No one's going to open that envelope and look at it until you actually apply for a patent. And what does that give you? That gives you a year to make a strategic plan about how you're going to protect your software. What else does it give you? It gives you a pile of envelopes that has your trade secrets in it. So when the former employee or the judge or whoever says, what's your trade secrets? You say, here they are. These are my trade secrets. They're dated. They describe everything that I'm talking about. Here's my trade secrets. And I'm sure that all of us have been in those trade secret cases where the answer is, I don't know what my trade secrets are, but they're valuable, they're great, I built this wonderful company, and you took them all because you worked for me for 10 years. As I say, it's not going to cut it. On the other hand, you've got this pile of provisional patent applications that a third-party government agency has stamped and held. Could you do it another way? Sure. But one of the advantages of doing it this way is you don't create the honeypot. And the honeypot is where You make a list of your trade secrets, a description of your trade secrets. You put them all on a computer, all in a separate set of files. And somebody breaches your computer system, or the employee who's leaving breaches the computer system and empties out the honeypot or copies what's in the honeypot. The PTO's not going to let anybody in to look at those envelopes. Now, what do you do in that year? What do you do in that year between the time when you've got your trade secret locked down through all your security measures and your contracts, and you've mailed in your envelope to the PTO or to some other place, for that matter? You've got time to figure this out.